You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 29 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we'll be looking back at two contrasting results against Everton and West Ham. We'll have the second part of Loan Watch as well as reserves review, and we'll preview the League Cup final against Aston Villa coming up on Sunday.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 29 of the RedCafe.net podcast. It's just me and Dan again this week, as Dov is still away in Hong Kong. Dan, how are you this week?
Not too bad, Steve. I can't believe it's the 29th episode either. It's when you just said that then, I can't believe it.
It has flown by.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Not been up so much, had a few days off work. Not really done much in my life. Been to the gym a few times. But apart from that, not done anything. What about you? Yeah, you've been moving house, Steve, you know?
Being a bit busy. Yeah, I moved house on Friday. Not completely yet, because we haven't got internet or Sky, so just sort of temporarily moved some stuff in. But yeah, that's all happening next couple of weeks. But Dan, let's start by looking at the game you were at this evening, the West Ham game in the Premier League. Really good performance, wasn't it? Especially recovering from the defeat to Everton as well. 1 point behind Chelsea in the table now, and another two goals from Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, see, we played very well. First sort of 10 minutes we looked a little bit lethargic, but I think overall 90 minutes we played very well. A few key performances from what I could see anyway. I thought Paul Scholes was magnificent in midfield, hard to give the ball away, made a few rash tackles, but he got let off by Wiley. Vidic obviously coming back in the defence made us look a lot stronger. Wes Brown played better alongside him than he had done again, you know, with Johnny Evans. And obviously Ben Foster making his first start for a few months as well. I thought he did well, everything that he needed to do, he did comfortably, apart from a few missed kicks in the first sort of 10 minutes. But I mean, in general, I thought we played very well. Performances from Rooney, he played very well all game. He kept dropping deep, and there was one moment where he took the ball on his thigh and had a shot from, must have been about 20, 30 yards, which just went over Rob Green's bar. So he played very well, scored two headers. Valencia, brilliant again down the wing. And Berbatov as well had a really good game following on from his Everton performance. So yeah, that was very, very impressive.
You mentioned the headed goals there, Dan. I mean, that's what, is it 8 or 9 now headed goals he scored this season?
Yeah, well,
and he said he's worked on it, hasn't he, over the summer, and it's really paying dividends, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the ones he had today, I mean, it would have been harder probably to miss the headers, but I mean, he took them very well. They were both great moves by United. Berbatov, Valencia and Rooney involved in both of those goals. But yeah, I mean, I think his last four goals have been headers now, the two against Milan and obviously the two tonight as well. So, I mean, it's good to see that he's got a bit of variety into his game now. He can score goals, left foot, right foot, headers. He can do the lot, I suppose.
And you were at the game, Dan. I mean, I wasn't there personally, but from what I've seen, Valencia, another absolutely superb performance. I mean, two assists, and crossing-wise, there doesn't seem to be anyone better in the team at the moment.
No, I just love the way he's so direct. You know exactly what he's going to do when he picks up the ball. One thing about him, he's very strong. His upper body strength is immense, really. People were just bouncing off him left, right and centre. They couldn't handle him. Neville made a few overlaps around the outside, but he chose to ignore him and put the crosses in himself, which is good that he's taking on responsibility. But, I mean, pace-wise, he's electric, isn't he? And his deliveries are perfect as well, especially the first one. A great ball from Berbatov over the top, and it was a first-time volley, side foot, across the area. It was brilliant, to be fair, and I texted you at the time, and it was fantastic to see, and he's really playing very well.
He's got a determination about him as well. I mean, I've seen the highlights, and just from previous games as well, whenever he seems to lose the ball or he's required to do a job sort of tracking back, he never shirks that, does he? He seems like he'll really fight for the cause, and he's sort of proud to be a Man United player. He's desperate to impress, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can't fault his commitment, like you just said. There's a few players who you might do that for, but I mean, definitely not with Valencia. And his performances, generally all season, have been pretty high, haven't they? I mean, there's not been that many players that have been better than him this season for us. Obviously, Rooney with his goals, and possibly Evra. But I mean, all in all, I think that he's been one of our standout players and he deserves the praise that he's getting.
And Vidic being back, Dan, was there a noticeable improvement at the back considering how poor we were against Everton?
Definitely. I mean, I thought he was one of our better players. I mean, Carlton Cole is a tough striker to play against. He's big, powerful, he's fast, he's got strength. He's good in the air, he's good on the floor as well. So Vidic dealt with him brilliantly. I can't remember Carlton Cole winning a header against Vidic. When he moved over to Wes Brown, he won a little bit more, but I mean, I thought Brown had a decent game as well. Vidic looked a little bit tired towards the end, and Cole was then getting into feet and running off him. But I mean, apart from that, I think that he was absolutely fine. And obviously now with Ferdinand, it looks like he'll be out of the cup final. It's vital that we get him back and playing regularly.
Well, Dan, let's move on to look at the Everton game now. Goodison Park, the 3-1 defeat on Saturday. Really disappointing performance, wasn't it? Especially after the high of the San Siro the week before as well.
Well, I thought first half we did okay. Obviously took the lead. And then we just seemed to... I think that quick Everton goal, it put us down a little bit, I think. Mm. Bad goal to disallow. Sorry, to concede when Evans... You know, his last few performances have been a bit concerning. I mean, he went for a ball there, which I didn't think he could win.
Yeah.
It's just lucky that it fell to the other lad and, you know, he put it in the corner. But after that, we didn't show much intent either, really.
And when Rodwell scored as well, I mean, he just left Evans for dead. I know he was sort of on the gallop when he received the ball, but...
Yeah, but you should still be defending that better.
Exactly, and it looked a lot like tired legs, didn't it? I mean, Evra was particularly poor, and that's probably his worst performance of the season so far. And I know there's going to be games when you get... some of your best players are going to be on an off day, but it did look like they were suffering a bit from the San Siro. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, which is understandable, but I mean, we're in a title race and we need to, you know, start showing it again. Otherwise, Chelsea will just they'll run away with it. I think, obviously, any more defeats this season, I think we might struggle to win the league. But we've said a few times on the pod about Evra needing a rest. But we've not got anybody really adequately. You know, Fabio can play, but you think he's been injured again in the reserves. And, you know, O'Shea's still injured. We've not really got anybody who can play at left back to a decent enough level. So it's hard to give players like, you know, Evra a rest. And Rooney as well probably needs a bit of a rest. I thought he was below standard on Saturday, but his effort was there. But like I say, he might have just been tired. I think there's got to be a few games now where Owen's got to start get a few games. With Berbatov, I mean, I think them two play quite well together. Just give him a chance, you know. That can't harm, can it?
Yeah, but you can't drop Rooney in the form he's in. And I mean, if you did, he's the sort of player that would say, I don't want to be left out of the team. Not just that. There's so much pressure on having to get results. What happens if you drop Rooney, start Owen? Owen has a shocker. We draw 0-0 in a game at home that we should win. And that could be the title out the window.
Yeah, but we lost to Everton where Rooney played. And he didn't really... I'm not saying he was poor, but he didn't perform to what he usually did, you know. So there's always going to be games like that, like you say. But, you know, it's unfair on someone like Michael Owen, who's come to the club. He probably knew he wasn't going to start all the time, but he hardly ever started.
Interesting stat about Berbatov as well, wasn't he? Scored in his last 5 starts for us.
Yeah. Well, that goal on Saturday, he took it well. I mean, at first I thought he was going to sky it over, to be honest with you, but it crashed in off the bar. I was pretty delighted with that. I thought he had a good game, actually. Maybe he's starting to come into it a little bit more. Maybe now he's... I think the pressure of that, you know, 30 million has weighed him down a lot. I've watched an interview with him, I think it must have been a few months ago now, and he looked like he was really concerned that he cost 30 million and he'd not started to repay it yet. But I mean, I'm sure he'll score. Like I say, I'm sure he'll score important goals. He's just unfortunate that he didn't score the winner, you know.
And what about Jack Rodwell, Dan? It's quite ironic, really, that he should score such a really good goal in front of Sir Alex, with all the rumours that have sort of been flying around this season that he might be joining United at some point. And he does look a decent player, doesn't he? A driving force in midfield.
Yeah, but I mean, he picked up the ball when everyone was tired and stuff, and no one really chased back, did they? Carrick's opposition scores was because we were going for that equaliser. But, you know, he took his goal well. It was a good finish. Can't deny him that. But, I mean, reports are on about 20 million for Rodwell, and it's like, he's not... How old is he now? 19? He might even be younger than that. And it's like, I'm not sure we could afford that sort of money for someone who's as unproven as Jack Rodwell yet. He looks promising though, but you know, I doubt we'd buy him for that much money. And I think David Moyes has said he's not for sale as well.
Yeah, I guess we can take some sort of solace from the fact that Everton beat Chelsea as well at Goodison Park. So there's a little bit to take from that. But I guess the big one is on the 3rd of April, Dan, the home game against Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, we beat them last season pretty convincingly. And I think that if we're in contention round about April time, I think we'll probably beat them again at Old Trafford because we'll want it a little bit more. But, I mean, it's hard to say where we'll be in April. Mm. Hopefully, like you say, we're either, you know, just behind a few points or you know, who knows, we might be in front of them. But, I mean, I'm starting to worry a bit about Arsenal now, Steve. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago everyone was writing them off because they got beat by us and then Chelsea.
Yeah.
They're only 2 points behind us now. So if we can win it, there's no reason why Arsenal can't win it. It's just...
Their fixtures as well on paper, I'm pretty sure they've got a much easier run in than both us and Chelsea. I mean, just looking at the tail end of the season, we still got to go to City. We still got to play Liverpool at home, Tottenham at home, Sunderland away. These are not games that are going to be easily won, are they?
No, we've got Bolton away as well, which I know they're struggling. It's just, they are tough games to play in. Chelsea, luckily, they've got the same sort of games. But, I mean, like say Arsenal, they've got a fairly easy run in. But saying that, they've lost to a few easy teams already this season, so it doesn't really stand up to much when you think about it. Mm. All the games are hard, aren't they?
Well, it's the time of the podcast now for Loan Watch, the second part of a two-part series we've done over the last couple of weeks. This week we're going to look at Zoran Tosic, Tom Cleverley and Tom Heaton. We'll start with Tosic then at Köln. He joined the Bundesliga side at the end of January and he's played 5 games for them, including 4 times in the league. So it's good to see that he's sort of getting games in a high-level league, a decent sort of quality league as well. He's already played against the likes of Hamburg and Stuttgart, who are obviously playing Barcelona in the Champions League, so decent opposition. And, well, unfortunately, they've only won once in 5 games since he's been there, so they're not doing too well. But at least he's getting involved. He hasn't scored yet, but it'll be interesting to see how he does get on towards the end of the season. Köln have still got to play Bayern Munich and Bayer Leverkusen, and they're both battling it out at the very top of the league for the title, so be really interesting to see how he plays in those 2 games especially. We'll move on now to Tom Cleverley then at Watford. You've been hearing plenty about him, I'm sure. He's been doing so well there. He started 7 games for them since our last loan watch, which was in December. He scored 3 goals as well since then too. They were against Bristol City, Blackpool and Sheffield United. So in total, in terms of championship games, that takes his tally to 10 in 25 for the season. So that's not bad for a midfield player. Unfortunately, most recent game, he was shown a straight red card, and that was in Watford's 2-2 draw with Scunthorpe on Saturday. And, yep, the referee, Howard Webb, would you believe, he sent him off for what was a rash challenge that I saw described on the internet. So he'll now serve a 3-match ban. I don't know if anyone has sort of read about this, but it was interesting to see that apparently Sir Alex Ferguson invited Cleverley to join the rest of the United squad when we beat Arsenal at the Emirates, just to sort of be around the team, see what the atmosphere is like at a first team game, be amongst the squad. So Fergie must sort of rate him highly if he wants to do something like that, take him along to a game. He must have sort of high hopes for him in the future. And apparently he also set him a few targets as well. So that's good to see Ferguson getting him involved there. Also, we reported in our last loan watch that Craig Cathcart was also at Watford, although they decided not to extend the loan period, which I believe finished at the beginning of January, so he is now back at United. And just finally, on the second part of loan watch, we're going to have a brief look at Tom Heaton at Wycombe Wanderers. He's played 2 games for them in League One since he joined them in February. He started in the 1-1 draw against Brentford, which was on the 13th of February. And then, fantastically, he saved a penalty and kept a clean sheet against Millwall in Wickham's most recent game, which was a 1-0 victory on Saturday. So, keeping a clean sheet and saving a penalty, that's not bad going. So, Tom Heaton, doing pretty well at Wickham, and we'll keep an eye on him for our next loan watch.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, it's time for Dov's Legends profile now. He's obviously not here, but as I mentioned last week, he has pre-recorded a couple of legends profiles.
Well, Steve, this week's legend, we have Andrei Antanasovich Kanchelskis. or we'll just call him Andrey Kinchelskis because his middle name is really hard to pronounce. He was born on the 23rd of January 1969 in Kirovograd in the Ukrainian Soviet Union, or as it now is, Ukraine. We all know about him. He was a winger on the right side. He began his career at Dynamo Kiev, played a couple of seasons with them, 22 games, only got the one goal, quickly transferred to Shakhtar Donetsk, where he won the USSR League, the Premier League in the USSR in 1990, and also the USSR Cup. It was at this time at Shakhtar Donetsk he came to the attention of Manchester United and Alex Ferguson for some of the performances he put in during the title winning season. And then on the 26th of March 1991, remember this is before transfer windows, he signed a £650,000 deal to join the Old Trafford team. So that is a bargain if ever I've seen one. He made his debut in the last game of the 1990-91 season, although United did lose 3-0. It was a kind of rebuilding period. It'd been 24 years since we won the league. Mike Phelan and Brian Robson were getting more to the end of their careers, and we didn't really have a proper winger at the club at the time. So Kinchelskis sort of arrived as another option for Ferguson. After he joined the club, though, we did win the Cup Winners' Cup, although he wasn't involved in 1991. The season after, he sort of became a more regular season, a regular player in the team. Sorry, he played 34 games in that season, as we finished second in the league to Leeds United, and then basically this was sort of him cementing his place in the team. During that season, also we went to Wembley Stadium and managed to beat Nottingham Forest 1-0, our first ever League Cup triumph. And in that season, Kinchelskis managed to get eight goals in all competitions, five in the league. So it was not a bad season for him. The following season, though, he certainly established himself on the right side of midfield as a key part of the team that won the first Premier League title and our first title for 26 years. That's right, 26 years. It's hard to believe that we hadn't won a league for that long. And here's a little fact for you. He was one of only 13 non-British or Irish players to play in the opening weekend of the Premier League season. Obviously, the stat would probably be the other way around these days, but I mean that shows you how far the English top flight has come. During the 93-94 season, we won the league again, and also the FA Cup, and Kinchelskis was fantastic. I mean, it wasn't since maybe Steve Coppell in the late 80s that we had a proper right winger at the club, and really his performances reflected his ability, which was fantastic. During the 94-95 season, he was a top scorer of the club with 15 goals in 32 games, but this is where it all started to go a bit wrong for him. Injuries started to creep in, and spent sort of the end of that season on the treatment table. Overall in his career, he played 145 times for United, scored 48 goals, but he fell out with Alex Ferguson, and they didn't patch up their differences, unfortunately, which doesn't happen that often, let's be honest, and was eventually sold on. He was moved on to Everton for a fee of £5 million in the 95-96 season, which was, at the time, Everton's record signing. His first season with Everton, he managed to score 16 goals, so great performance, and some would say he was the best right winger in the country at the time. So this was the time when obviously the kids were coming through at Old Trafford, and many people thought it was a mistake by Ferguson to sell Kinchelskis. Obviously, this was proved otherwise. He became a bit of a hero while he was there. He scored a couple of goals against Liverpool at Anfield, and led out into sixth place in his first season. That was the best finish since 1988. And the season after, Kinchelskis wasn't able to reproduce the scintillating form that made him a bit of a hero with the Liverpool side, and was sold to Italian club Fiorentina for £8 million halfway through his second season at Everton. At Fiorentina, though, he didn't really get his best form, wasn't really an important player to the side, so it was in and out of the side. Overall, he played 26 games for them and was then transferred to Rangers in Glasgow. He was there for a little while, managed 76 games for Rangers, scored 13 goals, but again, he really found himself on the fringes of the team in the 4 years. Although he did win a few honours, won the Scottish Premier League twice, Scottish Cup three times, and the Scottish League Cup twice as well. So he got some more honours while in Glasgow. But again, while he was on the fringe of the team, he got a bit frustrated and decided on a move. Then moved to Manchester City on loan from Rangers, and 10 games for them, again, wasn't really up to the standards he set himself at United and at Everton, and quickly moved to Southampton, where he got one game, so the less said about that, the better. He then decided to go off for a little payday in the Arabic world. He went and joined Al Hilal, played three games for them, so was he getting a bit better. And after that, he decided to move back to the Russian League, where he played for the Saturn Moscow Oblast. Played for them and got 32 games, three goals. Not really, again, up to the standards he set himself up. I mean, he was getting on a bit, let's be fair. And he finished his career playing with Krylia Sovetov. Don't really know much about them, to be honest, but that's where he finished his career in 2006, 22 games for them, only got one goal. His international career was a little bit eventful. He was captained 23 times for the Soviet Union national team, scored three goals for them, and 36 times for Russia, scoring five goals. Obviously, there was a lot of political upheaval in Russia and the USSR at this time, so he also played six games for the CIS, who were formed between the formation of the USSR and Russia. He only played in Euro 92 and Euro 96 because he led a bit of a boycott of the Russian team against the head coach at the time, which was Pavel Sadrian, and he didn't play in the 1994 World Cup. Didn't really like him at all, was dead against him being the manager, so that sort of curbed his chances for playing in a World Cup. After he finished his playing career in 2007, he became the sporting director of a Russian First Division team, Notska Novotryotsk. I hope I've said that right. I probably haven't. I do apologise. They were then relegated to the Russian second division. And Kinchevskis was then appointed as manager of FC Torpedo Zil Moscow in December 2009. So starting off his managerial career in Russia. So we'll see how that goes for him. Just a little thing as well, when he moved from United to Everton, according to Alex Ferguson in his autobiography, he says, this is alleged as well, that he was offered a £40,000 bribe to sell Kinchevskis, and when he refused, it's claimed, again, this is all alleged, that death threats were made to Martin Edwards, who was then the chairman of Manchester United, although Kinchevskis does deny this and say he had no idea that any such threats or anything like that were occurring. But I mean, his United career, a couple of Premier Leagues, FA Cup, League Cup, obviously won the European Super Cup as well in 1991. I could always remember him. Every time I think of Andriy Kinchevskis, I always think of the green and gold strip with the laces on the collar. It's quite an iconic strip as well. It's one of my favourite ones, actually, funnily enough. But his style of play, the way he could take men on, he was a proper winger, and obviously excellent delivery as well. When you have Kinchevskis on the right and Giggs on the left, I mean, it's going to cause any team lots and lots of problems. I can also remember, I think it was a goal he scored against Manchester City, it was a fantastic goal. I think it was in the 1994 season, but really it was an exciting player to watch, looked to entertain, and cemented his place in the club for sort of being in that first great team that Sir Alex Ferguson built.
You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, it's reserves review time now on the redcafe.net podcast, and despite Dov's absence, Dan stepped up to the plate, and he's going to bring us news about the reserves' latest victory, I believe it was.
That's right, Steve. United's second string looked pretty good against Everton. It was last Thursday at Moss Lane, and they won 2-0. Solskjaer picked a fairly strong lineup. It included Ben Foster, Richard Delay as well, Brazilians Fabio Possebon and Anderson, who came back, and the youth and Obertan were also selected. So pretty strong team, expected to win, and they did so comfortably. Fabio unfortunately went off injured though. Obviously, I mean, he's been injured quite a lot now, hasn't he? And it's becoming quite a concern. Reece Brown came on. It was only after 10 minutes as well. So, you know, Fabio is getting disappointed now. We just hope he's not one of them players that's going to be injured all the time and, you know, not letting his potential come out, really. Anyway, goals just before half-time confirmed the victory, which in truth really should have been a bit more emphatic. Diouf got the first of the night. It was a great counter-attack by United. Possibon started it off. He gave it to Anderson, and he made a great run through the midfield. Obviously knocked it to Diouf. And, I mean, his finish was superb, really. Passed, I think it was Turner in the Everton goal, into the far corner, so the keeper had no chance. And I'm liking Diouf. Only seen him a few times for reserves, but he seemed pretty good. Cameron Stewart got the second goal on just before half time. Obertan, again, I mean, he played against Everton, didn't he? At the weekend in the first team, and no surprise after this game, he was probably our man of the match against the reserves. Did some good running, laid the ball inside to Stewart, and he was cool enough, you know, to make space for a shot, which, you know, went again into the bottom corner. So the keeper really felt a bit sorry for him, because he had a decent game for Everton. And that's why I'm saying, you know, it should have been a bit more emphatic. Otherwise, uneventful second half. Fabian Brandi produced a spirited display after coming off the bench as his shot hit the post. But, I mean, Everton, they're reduced to 10 men. You've got to forgive me for this pronunciation, because I don't know how to pronounce it. But it's Ensaler, I believe, and it's his second booking. So he went, but United couldn't capitalise on that. Like I say, Steve, you know, performance-wise, Anderson was decent in midfield. Got about an hour, which was good to see, obviously falling out with Ferguson. Obertan obviously played well throughout the reserves as well, you know, put in a decent shift. So all in all, a comfortable victory, and I think we're on course to maybe winning the title, providing Liverpool slip up. I think it's City who are in second now behind us. So, you know, it looks good for the reserves.
Great stuff, and good to see Possibon back as well.
Yeah, I mean, he went to, was it Braga on loan?
Yeah.
And he didn't really get much playing time, did he? And, you know, it's good to see him at least getting games in the reserves now. I'm not sure what to make about Possibon. I think he looks a little bit lightweight. He's obviously good on the ball, good in possession. But, I mean, like, you know, he's on the young, so I'm sure he'll bulk out, like a lot of the players, really. They all look as if they're youth players, you know. So, yeah. Hopefully he'll come through. And there's a few spots there ready to be taken in the first team. Obviously, Scholes is getting on a bit now. You need a bit of variety, so, yeah, I'm sure he'll do very well. Just glad to see Anderson being given a chance. Obviously, he played tonight against West Ham, got injured, but it's good to see him, you know, given a run out.
Great stuff. Well, let's move on to Cabbage and Player of the Week now then, Dan. start with your Player of the Week. A few to choose from the West Ham game and perhaps the Everton game too, but not many plus points from that.
No, I'm going to go with, you know, a combined performance tonight in the Everton game. I thought Berbatov has been pretty good last two games. Obviously scored the goal on Saturday, which was a decent finish. I thought his all-round play was very good as well. And tonight he was heavily involved with all the goals as well. Well, especially the first two, weren't on the pitch for the second one. But for the first two goals, you know, he did well, linking up with Valencia, like I said before, dropping deep. And the thing I liked about him tonight, he was putting a few tackles in. And he seemed to be chasing down the defenders a little bit more. But yeah, fantastic performance. How about you, Steve? Who are you going to go with?
It's got to be either Rooney or Valencia. And I've given it to Rooney quite a few times recently, so I'll give it to Antonio Valencia. I believe he was the man of the match this evening. I've seen the goals, and the two crosses he put in were absolutely superb, especially the first one after Berbatov's ball over and then his volley straight across. It was terrific to see. So, yeah, Antonio Valencia gets my vote this week. And what about Cabbage of the Week, Dan? You?
I'm going to go Johnny Evans, I think. I know he didn't play tonight, but I thought on Saturday he was pretty poor again following his Milan display. And I suppose it was a good thing for Vidic to get back just in time, really, to give him a bit of a rest. Maybe he's been a bit poor in the last few games, but Ferguson, I don't think, would have played Evans as much as what he has done, had obviously Vidic and Ferdinand been fit. So it's not a dig at the lad. I think he'll be a great defender, but I just think that, you know, for the first goal at Everton, thought he was at fault, was trying to win a ball that I didn't think he had any right to be winning, and we got punished for it. So yeah, Johnny Evans. I don't know who you're going to pick though, because I mean, there's quite a few from Everton, weren't there?
Yeah, it's got to be going back to the Everton game, as everyone performed pretty well against West Ham. So yeah, going back to there, it would either be Johnny Evans, as you picked, or Patrice Evra, and I'm going to give it to Evra. Just seemed a bit off colour, didn't he? Not one of his best performances in the United shirt, but then he's been one of our most consistent players, so you've got to expect him to sort of tire eventually, and I think that was what it was a case of, that he was sort of tired legs, and as you mentioned earlier in the show, Dan, there's sort of no one to come in and replace him at the moment. You mentioned in reserves review as well that Fabio got injured again, so even sort of backup players, there's no one that can step in with O'Shea being injured as well, so he's doing really well to keep consistently playing at the highest level, but I think against Everton it sort of showed that he was a bit tired. And we'll just finish off by previewing the Aston Villa game on Sunday, the League Cup final at Wembley, of course. Dan, Aston Villa, it's going to be a really tough game, isn't it? Because they're hitting form just at the right time. I think they're unbeaten now since the end of December, but it is a cup final, isn't it? So form goes out of the window, I suppose.
Yeah, there's no reason why we can't go there and win. Obviously, we already have the Carling Cup from last season, so it'd be good to retain it. And I think we'll come out on top, really. A lot of players are on form. It depends what sort of team Ferguson puts out. We know that Ferdinand's going to be out now. We don't know the full extent of Anderson's injury sustained tonight.
Do you expect it to be a sort of full-strength team, likes of Rooney being picked, or is he likely to rest a couple? I think he'll go all out, put a pretty strong team out.
I'm not sure. I think maybe he'll put a few experienced players in, probably. I think Foster will start in goal. There's no other reason why he would have played tonight, unless he was going to play on Sunday. Maybe Gary Neville will play, but again, he'll have played three games in a week then if he plays. So whether his fitness is up to it, I don't know. I think Vidic will play. Vidic and Brown at centre half. Everett will obviously still keep his place, and it's in midfield really. I mean, does he pick Scholes and Gibson, or does he go with, you know, Fletcher and Carrick? It's a tough one, really, because, I mean, Gibson's played most of the games throughout the tournament. Obviously, he didn't start in the games against City. Rooney as well could possibly start. So, I'd like to see Rooney and Owen up front together in the final. But, I mean, I don't know whether that'll happen or not. Obviously, with Berbatov coming into some form now, he might even go with Owen and Berbatov and maybe put Rooney on the left, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I've just saw a post-match interview with Rooney, and they asked him, because he missed out on the final last year, whether he'd be disappointed if he was left out, and the impression he gave was that he really did want to play, so can't see him being left out, as you just said.
Well, he wants to play every game, doesn't he, Wayne Rooney? He's one of them players that you can imagine being a manager or just be on your nerves all the time if you don't pick someone. But I mean, yeah, that's good to see, though. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Dan, given that we've had so much experience in the Carling Cup final, obviously winning it last year, do you think that will give us the edge? I mean, Villa haven't been in a final for quite a few years now, so, and a lot of their players probably haven't experienced that sort of feeling that you get a Wembley final, so that could play into our hands, couldn't it?
It could do, but it could work the other way. You know, they'll be fearless in a way. They're all quite young, aren't they, the Villa lot? So I think it'll be a really good game. Most finals are just a bit of a drab affair, but I think this one will be good. I think both teams will be going to win it. Villa won't hold back, and they're obviously better going forward, aren't they? They like to go forward, obviously, with Ashley Young on the left, Milner in midfield as well. And Downing, who's been playing fairly well since he's moved there from Middlesbrough as well. So, I mean, it'll be a really good game. I expect it to be end-to-end. And I think it'll be, like most games, you know, whoever takes the chances will win it. Just hopefully that's us. It's not a massive disappointment if we do end up losing, but I mean, a trophy in February is probably, it's really good. I mean, I suppose it kicks you on for the rest of the season then. Gives you that belief that you are still winning things and not always lost. So I think that Ferguson have taken it seriously, and I do think we'll come away with a win. And I'm having an all-dayer as well in the pub, so hopefully by the time kick-off comes around I won't be too meshed.
Well, we certainly have to look out for them, won't we? Because they've already beaten us at Old Trafford and held us at Villa Park as well. So, certainly going to be an interesting encounter. Well, that is just about it on the redcafe.net podcast for this week. Email us at the usual address, podcast@redcafe.net. Make sure you join up to the Facebook group too. And we'll see you again next week when hopefully Dob will return as well.